So often when we think about loving kindness practice, we think about, or certainly I teach about, having the heart open and spacious and warm, and that and to have the mind and the heart just get acclimatized or acclimated or used to having that type of an experience, so that we can have access to that warmth, that open and spaciousness in other settings when we might need it, in difficult settings. But that's not always what happens, right? If you've been doing loving kindness practice, you know that even though we might be creating the conditions in which we would imagine that loving kindness might arise, we bring to mind a lovable being, we connect with them in whatever way makes sense to us, including like visualizing them. And then we say phrases to help the mind and the heart stay on task, so to speak. But sometimes things other than loving kindness arise. Maybe it's anger or resentment or some type of constriction, some tightness, some unhappiness. So loving kindness practice, it's also a purification practice. So my point of saying that is that this is part of the practice. For us to notice the edges of our loving kindness, the edges of our extending goodwill, the edges of our opening our hearts. And instead, we might say that loving kindness helps give us some more clarity about seeing what's in our hearts and the edges of our practice and where it's difficult for us to have goodwill, as well as where our hearts are not quite free. So that might arise when we're just with the lovable being, but somehow when there's some opening or softening of the heart, all these other things start tumbling out or bubbling up in some kind of way. Or when we're doing the practice, you know, we start where it's easy and it's like a waterfall. We go on to increasingly difficult individuals, and we might find like that we can do okay with the lovable being, maybe okay with friends, maybe we're okay with ourselves. But then with a neutral person, maybe that's a little bit more difficult. Or maybe with the difficult person, quote unquote, that's where it's difficult. So it's really helpful to keep in mind that loving kindness practice, sure, it's really great and it's helpful if loving kindness arises and we experience it. But it can be also helpful to consider that it's a way to help us see more clearly. See more clearly what's in our hearts. See more clearly the edges of our practice, instead of maybe kind of thinking like, well, sure, I'm a kind person. I'm a warm-hearted person. And we behave kind and warm-hearted. But then as we, with loving kindness practice, as we extend the circles, where we're sending, or I guess I'll use that word, where we're sending loving kindness, and we can learn a little bit about ourselves. And that is part of its purpose. So you're not doing it wrong. The practice isn't failing. If you have some of these experiences, either everything except loving kindness arises, or you come up to a place like, this actually is really difficult for me to have loving kindness here. So I just wanted to recognize that loving kindness also helps us to gain some clarity, to gain some understanding, to learn something about ourselves that perhaps we wouldn't know otherwise unless we had engaged in this practice. So with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation. So taking an alert, upright posture. A posture that has alertness, but it doesn't have stiffness. It has alertness, but it also has ease. And just generally checking in with the body. How is the body right now? In a global sense, is there some tiredness, some contraction, or is there some general relaxation or ease? Maybe feeling into any of those areas that have tension. And it might be that if you tune into the breathing, with the exhale, there can be a little bit of softening of that tension. Not that we have to make the tension go away. It's just that sometimes bringing our awareness, our attention to an experience allows something else to unfold. And it might be that greater ease can unfold. Sometimes we have tension in our shoulders. Sometimes around the eyes or the jaw. And just letting the awareness rest on the sensations of breathing when it's not on the sensations in the body. And then to start our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, someone with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. Bring this being to mind and connect with them. Connect with the lovableness, your warmth, care, respect you have for this being. And then to support our cultivating loving kindness, we can repeat these phrases as a way for the heart and the mind to be reminded of what we're doing right now is creating the conditions for loving kindness to arise. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing whatever is here to be here. That is, maybe there's a warm-heartedness, but maybe not too. And can you be okay with that? It's perfectly fine. Maybe reconnecting with the lovable being. Or if it seems wise to choose maybe a lovable being that's a little bit easier to connect with. Maybe it's kittens, puppies, babies. We don't have to find the perfect one. We don't want to struggle, but we don't want to make a project out of it either. connecting with the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to extend our loving kindness to a good friend. Somebody that we care about, but maybe the relationship is a little complicated sometimes. It's a little bit different than the lovable being. Just a little bit more difficulty. And bringing the good friend to mind, connecting with them, may you be safe, may you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Sometimes it can be helpful to just check in with the body and allowing any sensations of openness or warmth to be a support or to be a source of loving kindness, a sense of openness, having that warmth growing from a physical sensation. Maybe reconnecting with this good friend. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. And then to extend our loving kindness to ourselves. In some ways, relationship with ourselves might be more complicated than with our friends. And just notice, how do the mind and the heart respond with just the expansion of loving kindness to oneself? Connecting with either the experience of being here at this moment, or perhaps an image, maybe a photograph of yourself. And extending the same warm-heartedness, goodwill to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Sometimes when we do loving kindness practice, we learn about ourselves. Gain a little more clarity about our hearts, so to speak. It's part of the practice of loving kindness. It's part of its transformative power, is to help us see and understand things differently or newly. It's not always pretty what we see. And then can we extend our loving kindness to somebody that's a little bit troubling for us, not the most difficult person in our lives, but somebody for whom we have a little bit of difficulty? and bringing them to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Noticing any wavering or hesitation. It's okay. It's part of what this practice entails. We don't want to struggle, but can we hang in there? If not, it's perfectly fine to go do loving kindness where it's a little bit easier. Perfectly fine. And if you'd like to stay with the little bit difficult person, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. The difficult person wants to be happy, just like all of us want to be happy. Can we connect with this quality that we all share? Maybe reconnecting with the difficult person and see if there can be maybe some softening with the body that can help with some softening in the heart. Maybe like approaching it indirectly in this way. then to end this meditation, feeling our feet on the ground and the pressure of the chair or cushion against our body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So often we don't like to think of loving kindness practice as a purification practice. For me, even that word purification doesn't really feel good. It feels puritanical or something like this. But the point is that sometimes it's not until we do some of these practices that we can see or we experience different aspects of our inner life. And when we see and experience these aspects, then there can have the opportunity to shift and morph. And I like to use this word, get metabolized. They get our relationship to them shifts a little bit. And it may be imperceptible the first time, but each time that maybe something arises, but we're in the context of doing loving kindness practice, maybe there's some space for it to shift or morph or change a little bit. So don't think if you're doing loving kindness practice and there's either no loving kindness arising or the opposite of loving kindness is arising, it's still part of the practice. It's definitely part of the practice. And it's a trap to think that we always have to feel this warm spaciousness every time we do this. So it can be really helpful to talk with other people about some of these ideas. So now I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms. And we'll have an opportunity to talk with others about this idea of loving kindness is helping us to see clearly, and then that seeing clearly is to help kind of cleanse. Maybe we'll use that word, cleansing. So it's not only about generating loving kindness, but it has these other elements too. So you'll be in groups of three or four, and it can be nice to just say one point, not everything you have to say on the topic, and then go to the next person. And they say one point, and then it goes to the next person, and they say one point, and then you come back around. And this way, everybody has an opportunity to contribute to something, and you can learn from each other. So it's not like you have a long monologue and everybody's just listening, but instead, you kind of collectively are creating something. So let's do this with the last digit of your phone number. So we can do a numerical order when you kind of like going around the circle in your own little group using the last digit of your phone number. Okay, here we go.
In the main session.
You too.
Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Does anybody have a comment or a question they'd like to share? you talk about loving kindness being not loving kindness practice as being not only an opportunity to bring loving kindness, but maybe to see clearly or
I actually had a question that came up for me that I don't think anybody can really resolve, but I come from an abusive background, so I have a great deal of difficulty giving myself loving kindness. I'm used to being on drawing a short straw. I give a lot of loving kindness, or at least I try to. And so finding the balance for me is very difficult, particularly with difficult people. I have a couple of people in my life who just sort of suck everything out of the room. You know, they want all the attention. And I start to give it, you know, and I'm lying on the floor getting walked over, you know, figuratively speaking. And so how do you get to a place of balance is my question with this.
Yeah, I would say that it's really worthwhile to cultivate and build some loving kindness for oneself. And that's not so easy to do. If we feel like we don't have it, we might feel like, detour around it. But to find a way in which we can appreciate ourselves and something that we can do, two things I'll mention. One is a gratitude practice that somehow kind of softens our heart. And so that's one. And the second is, at the end of the day, this is kind of like a regular practice that some people do, is just to remember, okay, what is something kind or good that I did? And to remember it and to bring that to mind without any grabbiness, without any, oh, look at me. But like just to remember, oh yeah, the whole day isn't all about bad things or isn't about mistakes we made or something, because it's too easy to fall into that habit of at the end of the day just to review all the terrible things that happened and I have to fix them tomorrow. But instead to remind ourselves, no, I did this okay. I did that okay. A friend of mine, she calls it like the gold medal game. And she, I appreciate this very much, sometimes is saying, yep, I unloaded the dishwasher without feeling a little bit irked that I had to do it. Or I replied to an email quickly when I knew it was really important to somebody. Or, you know, it could just be mundane things, but just to remind ourselves of these mundane, but can be meaningful. And even if they're not meaningful, things that we do, just so that our view is more balanced. So that's where I would say the balance is for mm-hmm. ourselves. And then loving kindness for a difficult person will just naturally start to become easier. That was kind of my talking a lot. I hope that, how was that, Claire?
Thank you.
Great. Trudy. Can you unmute yourself, please, Trudy?
I thought I was, but now I realize I have to do it again.
Yeah.
So, well, somebody brought up their feelings for how they feel when they look at their dog and the heart opens, and that opened up in the group a moment to share that aspect of loving kindness, and I was happy to join in. And every time I look at the picture I have of my dog and me, my heart just bursts open.
Yeah.
And I have that picture on my fridge, and I don't want to take it down because it's such a happy, happy thought.
Nice. I love it. During the meditation, Nicholas's cat was up on the camera. And I was like, oh, it was like very, you know, heartwarming for me. Nicholas's eyes were closed, but his cat was right there. So, yes, right? These little pets. Okay. So loving kindness practice, it's always a, it's never wasted. Whenever we do loving kindness practice, it's never wasted. Even if it feels like, oh, what, it feels like it's a mess, or it feels like it's, we're not having the experiences we were expecting to have. It's never wasted. Mm. Okay. So it's 2 minutes after the hour. Just want to thank you all, and we can unmute ourselves and say goodbye. Bye. And thank you. Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Sarah, good night, Melanie.
Thank you,
Michael.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Diana.
Love you.
Nice to meet you.